Welcome to Sunrise, the radio outreach of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona. Join us for the next half hour as we take a personal and up-close look at the Word of God with Pastor Scott Richards. Join us now as our teacher continues his study. Here's Pastor Scott.
You can turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. And while you're turning there, let me give you a spiritual pop quiz tonight. If you could ask God for just one thing in your life, and you knew he would answer it, but just one thing, what would you choose? Now, I know some of you out there who are Bible students are going, I know. You know, I've read 1 Kings chapter 3, Scott, and, you know, Solomon, when he was given that very opportunity from God, decided to ask for wisdom. And God commended that. He said, you didn't ask for riches or wealth or triumph over your enemies, but because you've asked this, I'm not only going to give you wisdom, I'm going to give you all the other things on top of it, because you asked for that great gift. Well, Solomon asked for wisdom, and certainly that would fit into the category of a gift from God that keeps on giving. But did you know that there is an even greater blessing that you and I can ask for from God than even wisdom itself, even having perfect wisdom? In fact, Jesus described this gift for us in the book of Luke, chapter 11. In Luke, chapter 11, beginning at verse 11, he said this, "If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? If he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask for him?" You see, an even greater blessing than wisdom itself is asking God for the Holy Spirit. Now, I know some of you are out there going, but wait a minute, Scott, didn't I receive the Holy Spirit the moment I invited Christ into my life? What do you mean, ask for the Holy Spirit? Well, tonight in Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to get up close and personal with a very unique ministry, a very unique move of God that he desires to bring to each and every one of our lives through the Holy Spirit that many believers, well, maybe have heard of, maybe have consigned to the realm of Christian cliche, but can really spell the difference between walking in victory or frustration in our walk with God. The difference between becoming more like Christ in our character or being stuck being the same old us. The difference between being a light in this world or being a load in the lives of others in this world. It all comes down to understanding what Jesus meant about asking for the Holy Spirit. So tonight, we're going to explore this a bit in a study we could call Be Filled with the Spirit. We're going to see, first of all, the crisis of the Spirit, the demand for this blessing in our lives. It's not something that is optional. It's not just something for super saints. It is an absolute essential. Secondly, we'll see the communication of the Spirit. That one of the most important signs of truly being filled with the Holy Spirit isn't necessarily, well, you know, what we would usually associate with the miraculous gifts, something that happens in a church service, speaking in tongues, prophesying, laying your hands on someone and seeing them healed. But maybe even a greater miracle than all these things combined, changing the way we communicate with others. We'll see the role of the Holy Spirit and doing that. And finally, we're going to see the confirmation of the Spirit. the demonstration of this amazing connection with God, how you can know for sure that you are a Spirit-filled, Spirit-anointed, Spirit-empowered Christian. And as I've said, this is not just something that is for super saints or pastors seeking not to make fools of themselves behind pulpits. It's something that God wants to give to every one of us. It's one of His most powerful gifts. So let's pray and ask the Lord through His Spirit to speak to us regarding this tonight. And who knows, maybe for some of you here, for the very first time, you'll receive this power in your life, experience this amazing connection with God, unlike any other that we can have in the Christian life. Father, as we come before you, Lord, we are mindful of what Jesus said, that He is the vine, we're the branches, and apart from Him, we can do nothing. But that connection that we have with you is one that is ministered to us through the Holy Spirit, through that third person, the triunity that is you, Lord. And so, Lord, we pray that you would remove the confusion from this, remove the covers of cliche and maybe experience from this, maybe even blow off the cobwebs, the dust in our walk with God, where we smile and nod and give mental assent to the importance of these things, but really don't appreciate and appropriate them personally. But most importantly, Lord, for anyone within the sound of my voice, I pray that they would discover the amazing blessing, the awesome difference that comes to our lives when your Holy Spirit begins to move and minister in and through us. Guide us into your truth, we ask now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, to set the stage for you, if you were with us on Sunday as we continued through the book of Ephesians chapter 5, we discovered that the Christian life is a lot of things, but one of the most important things that the Christian life is all about is that it's a wake-up call. It's God's alarm clock. If you were with us, we saw in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14, therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you life. You know, so many of us, unfortunately, find ourselves sleepwalking through this life. We are just sort of on autopilot. We survive from day to day, weekend to weekend. Before too long, our lives are over before we've really made a difference. Well, you know, these days there's an expression that is used in political circles about being woke. Well, God wants you to be a woke Christian. You know, I'm reminded of the words of the famous Christian musician and songwriter Keith Green. In his song, Your Love Broke Through, he said, like waking up from the longest dream, how real it seemed until your love broke through. I was lost in a fantasy that blinded me until your love broke through. Well, God's love wants to break through. God's love wants to change every other relationship we have. God's love wants to give us a brand new way of looking at the challenges of life. But He doesn't just want to wake us up. He wants to empower us, now that we're awake, to experience real victory in our walk with Him. And that's where we pick things up in verse 15. There we read, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now, notice the need that we have for the Holy Spirit. Let's face it, walking for the Lord in a world like this, it can be tough duty at times. It can be a real challenge. If you haven't been challenged to the core in your walk with God yet, either you're a brand new Christian or you just ain't paying attention. Because there's all kinds of pitfalls, there's all kinds of traps. This world is not geared, it's not designed to enhance your walk with God. Rather, this fallen world system that we live in, run by the wicked one himself, is designed to, at the very least, neutralize your effectiveness for Christ in this world, if not knock you out of the race entirely. So we need to be aware of that. We need to take precautions. Forewarned is forearmed. And the Apostle Paul gives us some ways that we cannot be played by this world, but overcome this world. Not living in reaction to Satan's snares and traps and the barriers that he sets along this way, but responding to them in a way that lifts us up to a higher kind of a life. Notice what he says here. See then that you walk circumspectly. Now, that word circumspectly is an interesting word. Maybe you've heard the word circumference before. A circumference is measuring a circle, and like a circumference, to walk circumspectly carries the idea of walking a circle all the way around something so that you see all angles of it. You know, you don't rush into things, you don't make snap judgments, you really think through the challenges that you face in this life. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 22, this idea of living circumspectly, I think, is beautifully portrayed for us there. Writing there, King Solomon said, "A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." Boy, if you don't realize the challenge that we face within this life, I don't know about you, but there have been certain things that happen to me that always catch me kind of off guard. You know, I carry around this illusion, and maybe you do too. I got a pretty good idea of how life's going to work out in a particular day. I've got my schedule. I kind of have an idea of what's going to be on the agenda for the next day. And, you know, I wake up in the morning and I think, oh, yeah, I'm going to do this and this and this, and things are going to go this way. And there's an old saying, man plans and God laughs. Because the more I will think, oh, I've got a line on things, this is how things are going to go down, the more the exact opposite happens. Yeah, I think it was John Lennon who was famously quoted as saying that life is what happens to us when we're making other plans. But life can really intrude on you, can really throw you a curve. As many of you know, I've struggled for this last week with a case of the shingles. And I was so shocked and I was so stunned by that. You know, I mean, you talk about being in denial. You know, shingles are a form of a recurrent chicken pox. That's what it is, that chicken pox virus. If you've had chicken pox, it's living in your nerve system. It never goes away. And there are certain things, sometimes it's environmental, sometimes it's caused by stress, sometimes it can be caused by having another illness, but your immune system gets down and these beasties that are living in your nerve cells decide, let's make a repeat appearance. Well, you know, I remember doing a memorial a couple of weeks ago on Saturday, and I came home, and you know, I kind of felt these bumps on the back of my head, and I thought, oh, I guess I got mosquito bit, you know, and I asked my daughter Sarah, you know, are those mosquitoes? Yeah, they kind of look like mosquito bites. And suddenly I had a bunch of mosquito bites back there. Oh, man, I really got bit by a swarm of those babies. And then, you know, I woke up, and have you ever slept on your pillow wrong? You know, where you get those knots in the back of your head, that kind of that pain back there. I got these knots back there. And then I looked at myself in the mirror and I've got this big red rash breaking out. And I'm thinking, oh, you know, I had this sinus infection and Pam gave me this herbal tea. Maybe I had, an allergic reaction. And it's like the perfect storm. I've got mosquito bites and herbal tea reaction going on here. And I know, boy, you know, that's kind of, you know, I guess, you know, I must be doing something right here because I'm really, and it finally got so bad and just so painful that I went to the urgent care. Fortunately, at the urgent care, this really wonderful physician's assistant took one look at me and goes, shingles. I went, shingles? What do you mean shingles? Shingles. Yeah, that's what you got. See, you got these radiating things. They're going on this side of you. They're only on this side. And lo and behold, how does that pain feel back there? Well, it kind of feels like, you know, when you go to the dentist and they poke your tooth and you got a cavity and that probe goes through the enamel and you go, like that. That's kind of how it feels. Shingles. I go, great. What can we do about it? Well, here's your antiviral. You'll have to kind of ride this out for... The bottom line was, when I woke up in the morning, the last thing in the world I thought anyone was going to tell me is I had shingles. Shingles happens to other people, you see. And by the way, the reason I'm not going to hang around and hug you tonight is because I still got this thing kind of going on here. So safety first and all this stuff. I don't want to share the wealth. It's really hard to get, but I'm going to err on the side of caution. But the bottom line is, you know, here I did not expect this to be a part of my life. And so, like, kaboom, it's a part of my life. You think about those kaboom moments in your life. You know, you wake up in the morning and you go, okay, this is what's going to happen. And, you know, I'm going to do this and this and this is how things are going to go. And then just, bam, the whole equation gets reshuffled. Well, this idea of walking circumspectly is the idea of taking a look at life from all angles and coming to this conclusion. God, unless you give me the power to face not just the things I can anticipate, but especially the things I can't anticipate, I'm dead in the water. I'm not going to make it. Even on my best day, and maybe this is not true of you, I know it's true of me, if I take my life into my own hands and try to manage it in my own strength, I'm going to end up digging the hole so deep by 10 o'clock in the morning, I won't be able to see straight. There's always going to be something. And you can get upset about that. You can, you know, stomp your feet about that. You can hold your breath till you turn blue, but it ain't changing the fact that we live in a fallen world, a world where shingles come to visit, a world where you get a phone call that you never thought you'd get, a world where relationships that you thought were going to last forever suddenly fall apart on you, a world where you counted on something, you anticipated something, you dreamed about something, and suddenly, boom, that dream goes up in smoke. That's what it means to walk circumspectly. It means to understand that you and I were never intended to try to get through this life alone. We need to stay close to the Lord. We need to find our refuge in Him. I love what Psalm 91 says about this. Psalm 91 says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, my refuge, my God, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. It is He who delivers me from the snare of the trapper and the deadly pestilence. For He will cover me with His feathers." The New American Standard says, "In the shadow of His wings, you may find refuge." Now, I really like the way that renders it, because the shadow is there. The protection is there. God desires to keep us close to Him and protect us from harm. But there's a big may there. You may, or you may not. It's up to you. It's up to me. That's what walking circumspectly is all about. It's realizing that every day is a choice about who's going to see us through this day. And you can't live on yesterday's manna. You can't say, just because, you know, the Lord really took care of me yesterday, and boy, I had a great time, I was so close to Him. You can't ride in the slipstream of what happened before. You know, the biggest challenge of life is that it is so daily, as they say. But here's the good news. God's mercies, Lamentations chapter 3 says, are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. So I used to kind of stomp my feet and get frustrated about things like that, you know, but then I realized, God, You're with me, and I have an opportunity in this set of circumstances. I can either trust You, or I can hold my breath till I turn blue, but maybe there's an opportunity to be able to grow from all of this. You know, when I had shingles, I discovered, for instance, some things about life I didn't know. I didn't know that at 3 in the morning on MeTV, they show old Mannix reruns. I didn't know that. It was a discovery for me. No, the most important challenge in all was like saying, okay, Lord, got to ride this out. I just got to keep my eyes on You. And as you do, patience has its perfect reward. That means to walk circumspectly. Notice it says in verse 15, "See then you walk circumspectly, not as fools." Do you realize that as a believer in Christ, you have a live option in this world? You can either walk circumspectly, wisely, taking all these things into account, or you can be a fool. Now, how does the Bible define a fool? Well, in Psalm 14 and verse 1, we are told, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Now, we as believers in Christ would never say that, right? But how often do we live our lives just as if there were no God? How often do we fall back on our own patterns, our own styles of relating that maybe we picked up and developed in our families of origin before we knew the Lord, and maybe they're survival tactics? Maybe you learn to duck and cover. Maybe you learn to be a perfectionist, to stay out of some critical person's harm's way. Maybe you learn to be, you know, sort of the clown and lighthearted because, you know, it would diffuse things. We've got all these ways of managing our lives apart from God. But here's the common denominator in it that makes them foolish. It's apart from God. God never intended us to get through this life without Him. And we fall back on those patterns. We fall back on those same olds that got us through tough times and circumstances in this world, maybe even gave us an illusion that we were in control of our lives in this world. That's the one that really gets us. By falling back on those patterns of being aggressive and in other people's face so that maybe you're the one who's giving the orders and you don't have to worry about other people doing that to you. Maybe even being mean and bullying towards other people because you were bullied when you were young. You said, that's never going to happen to me again. All these things exclude the idea of God in our lives. What Paul is saying is, don't be a fool. You know, there are two kinds of atheists in this world. There are positional atheists who run around saying, I believe the whole universe is a big uncaused effect. You know, pay no attention to that bang you just heard. Nothing caused that. I mean, that's foolish to me. But then there's another realm of foolishness that hits closer to home. It's practical foolishness, practical atheism. We live just as if there weren't a God out there. But there is. And He's involved. And He's invested in our lives. And He will work within our lives to get our full attention. The wise person, again, takes the opposite tack. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Okay, the Bible defines being a fool as the one who says there's no God, right? But how does the Bible define someone who's wise? Well, Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7 tells us this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Well, what is the fear of the Lord all about? It's not walking around going, oh, I know God's got a lightning bolt with my name on it, and He's going to get me because things are going too good. There's some people, like, you know, it reminds me of a line from the comedy Seinfeld, where the character George had a white blemish on his lip, and he was absolutely convinced that he was going to have cancer because finally things were going good in his life. And he goes, oh, you know I've got cancer. God is going to... He goes... Jerry looks at George and says, but I thought you didn't believe in God. Well, I believe in Him for the bad things. You know, there's people that look at the fear of the Lord in that way. You know, the God is up there kind of looking at us and going, oh, things are going way too well for them. I'm going to throw a wrench into that. Oh, man, someone's enjoying themselves. I've got a big cosmic wet blanket I'm going to put on all of that. Well, no, that's not the fear of the Lord. The idea of the fear of the Lord in Scripture is not cringing animal fear. It's not waiting for the other shoe to drop. The fear of the Lord, maybe the better way to translate fear, is having a sense of awe and respect for who God is.
Bible teacher and pastor Scott Richards of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona. Be sure to join us next time as we continue through the Word of God here on Sunrise. In the meantime, we invite you to get in touch with us here at CCF to request your own copy of what we heard on today's broadcast. We also extend an invitation for you to join us for worship and study of God's Word. We're located at 3850 North Commerce Drive. Simply go one block west of I-10 on Prince Road, then two blocks north. Our Sunday morning worship times are 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our Wednesday study gets underway at 6:30 p.m. For more information on our many outreaches, you can call 292-9661, 292-9661. You can also call that number if you want an audio copy of today's broadcast. That's 292-9661. Or visit our website at calvarychristianfellowship.com. That's calvarychristianfellowship.com. Well, thanks again for joining us, and be sure to make plans to be with us next time for more of Sunrise with Scott Richards.
glorify you. Glorify you.
This program has been made possible by Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona.